Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Baby Me, Dragons Love Curves, by Edie Award. Narrated by Paul Bryan and Stephanie Rose. Chapter 1. Cage. You learn something new every day. Cage and Gris stood back to back, or rather tail to tail, beating back a horde of demon dragons.
We must be getting close to where they're keeping Portia and Zahn. I haven't seen this many demon dragons together since we opened up hell itself.
Cage blew a gust of wind under an attacking group and threw them into the air. Gris swished his tail neatly, chopping off all their heads.
Yes, we're close this time. I can feel them.
Gris's words were more than gut instinct, more even than a connection with his twin. Portia was close. Gris's soul shard was glowing like a streetlight. Portia might not be Cage's favorite succubus. She had done everything she could to screw over his life a time or two, but she was the mate to two of his dragon warriors. They would save her. If they got to kill the succubus queen in the process, then even better. Two more golden dragon warriors landed beside them. A woman slid off each of their backs, and all four joined the battle. One of the mates was a sun witch, and she peppered the demon dragons with spikes of white-hot light, turning as many to dust as her dragon. The other was a mere human, but she was a serious badass with a pair of katanas. They pushed deeper into the dark alley behind the now deserted souk on the outskirts of Dubai. Geshtiana had deserted her rooms in the 6-star hotel after Cage had a little meeting with a sheik who owned it. Of course, by meeting, he meant scare the shit out of the guy.
We need to capture one of the talking bastard demon dragons to tell us where the hell they are keeping our kin.
Cage called the instructions to the new dragons who joined the battle. Gris snarled and destroyed two more demon dragons charging at them, defending a particularly dark corner of the alley.
Where the hell is your rogue black dragon friend? If we lose them again because of his cowardice, I'll hunt him down and kill him too.
Jet had been off-grid since the destruction of hell. However, Cage had gotten a text message from a burner phone that even his elite team hadn't been able to track. It had contained GPS coordinates for this alleyway, and a note that had instructed him not to kill any of the demon dragons that could communicate. The sender had also said that those instructions were not the favor he was owed, but a warning. The message hadn't said anything about torturing information out of a talker being off-limits. Thus far, they had only encountered and eviscerated dozens of really dumb demon dragons. Like, really dumb. The only reason they were having success protecting whatever hid in this alleyway was by sheer numbers. There was enough of the enemy that Cage almost missed the shadowy figure slipping out of a doorway that shouldn't be there. The spark of succubus allure grabbed his attention, a feeling he knew all too well. He'd counted on Geshtiana's coven trying this tactic, sicking a succubus on them, which was why he'd only brought along mated pairs to the fight. The allure would not have the same control over a dragon who had found his soulmate. The succubus wouldn't be able to control the actions of his warriors and their mates, only make them all damned horny. They would be able to keep their heads about them and not be controlled by that particular demon power. The pull of this little succubus was nothing compared to the bond Cage had with his sparkling, beautiful mermaid Azzy. Think the first dragon she held his heart and his soul. He spread his wings and jumped into the air, only taking flight long enough to soar over the top of the battle, land directly on the hiding succubus.
Good try, little demon. Now tell me where your mistress is hiding, and we will not only spare your life, but get you out from under her dark control.
The succubus spit in his face. So much for giving mercy. Cage extended one talon and speared it through her shoulder. He dragged her up the side of the building and pinned her there. She flailed and reached for the mysterious door she had come out of, but it disappeared before both of their eyes.
The coven has betrayed you. Tell me what I want to know, and maybe we can find you a dragon to fulfill those dark needs of yours.
Before she could answer, Gris exploded through the alleyway in a burst of light and claws. He burned a path of demon dragon destruction, clearing them all to get to the succubus. He landed in front of her and shifted into his human form, wrapping one hand around her throat. Cage withdrew his talon and let Gris take over. His second had a lot of rage to direct at anyone and everyone at this coven.
They destroyed the Gold Dragon Weir ancestral home, murdered Gold Dragon warriors, and kidnapped the two most important people in Grissa's world. Geshtiana and her coven were all lucky to still be alive. They wouldn't be for long.
"Where are they?"
he growled.
"Where are my brother and my mate?"
The succubus pushed her allure out at full power, which weakened Grissa's grip on her. Cage lunged for her to stop her from reaching into her shirt for a weapon. She was too fast and pulled a cell phone from her cleavage. She tapped the call button, and the world in front of them all exploded into a ball of light, flame, debris, and destruction. Cage and Griss were thrown halfway down the alley with the force of the blast. The armor of Cage's scales protected him from everything but superficial injuries. He healed them quickly. The others, who were not in dragon form, would not fare as well. Cage rolled from his back where he'd landed and took in the carnage. Griss lay nearby, bloody and torn to shreds, but alive. He'd taken the brunt of the explosion. If he didn't shift into dragon form and let the magic and power take over, he would die. Cage covered the large wound in Griss's chest with his paws. No way was death taking his friend today.
"Change into your dragon form, Ember Griss."
Cage put the power of his alpha, Wyvern of the Gold Dragon Weir, behind his words. Griss had no choice but to shift. His dragon would heal the wounds. Gold light shimmered across Griss's body, and he transformed. The blood that flowed slowed, and new scales formed across the open wound. Griss growled, and Cage breathed a sigh of relief. The Sun Witch, mate to one of his warriors, ran toward them and brought light to the alleyway. Now they could all see the rest of the destruction, including a human woman lying in a pool of blood. It was the badass katana-wielding mate. Oh no, not a mate. Not when his dragons had only just begun finding the women who lit up their souls. A deep wrench hit Cage in the gut. He could do nothing, nothing to save this beautiful soulmate. What if it had been Azzy fighting here at his side? He would never survive her death. The witch ran to the woman's side and began performing CPR. She was joined immediately by the human woman's dragon mate, a young warrior not even yet in his prime. The dragon shifted into his human form and grasped his mate's hand. Even as the witch worked hard to breathe life back into the woman, the crystal at the injured woman's neck faded and flickered. There was so much blood.
"Come on, come on, breathe, damn it!"
The witch pushed on the woman's chest, counting the compressions, until the warrior grabbed her arm and gently pushed her away. All the color drained from his face as he stared down at his mate. He leaned down and whispered in her ear,
"Where you go, I go."
The last of the light in the soul shard blinked out, and the young dragon warrior fell beside his mate, still holding her hand in his. Cage roared into the sky, shaking the crumbling building. He'd lost two precious lives tonight. The witch put her fingers on the woman's neck and then the warrior's. She shook her head and looked at the others in the group, sadness and shock on her face.
"They're gone. Both of them."
A golden glow of light washed over the couple, and swirls lifted from their bodies. The streamers of light sparkled and danced around each other, floating together into the sky until their souls dissipated into the night. Cage swallowed hard, past a lump of guilt, fear, and sadness in his throat. Dragons died in battle. It was part of being a warrior. Some were taken by old age, like his own father's death. But his father had been almost 600 years old and didn't ever have a mate. This warrior had been young, 120, maybe 130 years old. He and his mate had only been together a few months. His body had no visible injuries. Hers was riddled with her own blood. She had died fighting alongside them all, and her mate had joined her in death. Was this the way of the world now? A mate dies and her dragon does too? Did it work the other way around as well? This changed everything. The remaining dragon warrior comforted his mate and held her tight to him. He stared up at Cage looking for guidance, for a sense of what this meant. Cage didn't know.
"Take your mate to safety, warrior. Keep her close."
The witch peeked out from her dragon's grasp.
"You too, little mate. Keep your warrior safe."
She nodded, and the dragon warrior grabbed her up in his great claws and took to the air, flying high, far from the danger and carnage here. Gris groaned and rolled to his side, shifting back into human form. His wounds were mostly healed.
What happened? Where the fuck is that succubus?
She's gone. The sacrificial distraction. I doubt even if we discover the entrance to Geshtiana's hiding place, we would find her or any of her coven there. Gris pounded his fist into the dirt, leaving a crater.
She'll pay for this.
She has a lot to pay for. Geshtiana will regret the day she allied herself with the Black Dragon. When Gris saw the bodies of the couple, he visibly blanched, but he knew his job. He contacted another team of gold dragons in the area to come and meet them, to retrieve their fallen comrades. If Geshtiana or the Black Dragon finds this out, we all may be dead. The team flew in quickly and headed off for the new Gold Weir stronghold in Spain. Cage wished he were on his way there and back to Azzy right now. He needed to hold her in his arms, rub her belly where their babies grew, and know that she was safe. One of the dragon warriors stayed behind.
Sir, I have a message from Azinsa.
Well, what is it? Azzy had sent messages through his warriors half a dozen times when he had been in battle these past weeks. Her words of love would have been embarrassing if he hadn't been so tickled that she didn't seem to care that she made his warriors say adorable things like hope you're kicking butt today, or giving them a specific number of kisses they were to give him. He could use her kisses and words of encouragement now.
Yes, sir. She said to tell you, and I quote, get your ass back home now.
That didn't sound good. Azzy was the one who had postponed their wedding in the first place and sent him off to help Gris fight these battles. She said she wanted the Gold Weir strong and whole before their wyvern celebrated his marriage. If she was asking for him, there must be something wrong. After the battle and the explosion, it wasn't likely there was a mirror or any other shiny surface around that he could either talk to her or use the first dragon sword to transport himself back to her.
Gris, I need to fly. Azzy needs me.
Gris nodded.
Go to your mate. I will continue to hunt Geshtiana.
Cage had no doubt about that.
I'll return as soon as I can with more dragon warriors.
Unmated ones. He wouldn't take that risk again. We will find your mate and your brother. He and Gris clasped arms.
I know. Now go. Be with your mate, Wyvern. I have a feeling those twin babies you're having are going to be important to us all.
Chapter 2. Cage. He likes big butts. It didn't occur to Cage until he was somewhere over Egypt that he could have probably called Azzy on his cell phone. He opted instead to ask the winds for an extra boost to get him home as soon as he could. He got to Spain just after sunrise and followed the sweet and salty scent of his mate to find her in the secluded treehouse he'd built for them instead of the palatial estate overlooking the ocean. He landed quietly and shifted into his human form. For a moment, he simply stood there, staring at her, thanking the first dragon she was safe. As he slept, with her long black hair spread across the pillows, her dark skin glowing, her lush pregnant body covered in a light blanket. Wind and sky above, she was beautiful. She was his. He slipped out of his clothes and into bed with her, curling his body around hers. His hands wandered over every inch of her, softly, slowly. He should let her sleep, but he needed to feel her, assure himself she was okay. As he had been pregnant with his babies for approximately 3 months, and he knew nothing about pregnancy, but loved how her body had filled out, her breasts had swelled. She had grown more lush in all the right places. He'd been gone from her side for almost a month, hunting for the demons who'd attacked his weir, killed and kidnapped his people. In that short time, her belly had gotten bigger with his babies inside. Cage ran his palms over her body and swore he felt his little ones moving. Wasn't it too early for that? In fact, her stomach seemed about twice as big as it had before. As he stirred and rolled to her side,
if you rub my back, I'll love you forever.
He chuckled and started in on her shoulders.
You'll love me forever anyway. True, but if you get that spot in my lower back that's been killing me, I'll show you exactly how much I love you.
His fingers found all of the hard knots in her muscles, and her groans of pleasure had him growing harder with each one. Rubbing her back wasn't the only way to relax her.
Spread your legs for me, Azinsa. Let me eat that pretty pussy of yours. Then I'll fuck you nice and slow, making you come on my cock over and over. We've got a lot of time to make up for, and I've been missing you fiercely.
As he rolled in his arms and gave him a nice deep kiss, although it wasn't nearly long enough.
You are a dirty dragon, and I'd love nothing more than to let you do exactly that. But if I don't get up and pee for the 11th time since I went to bed, I'm going to float away.
Cage reluctantly let her go, and Azzy groaned as she scooted to the side of the bed. She sat there for a moment before pushing herself up and crossing the small room. His lover moved like she was exhausted. A sucking hollow formed in his chest at the thought of his mate suffering. Cage got up and waited outside the door of the little water closet, and the second she stepped out, he lifted her up into his arms. She didn't even fight him, only curled her head into his shoulder and let him carry her all 2 meters back to their bed.
Is this why you called me back, my love? Are you ill? Is there something wrong with the babies?
He hadn't noticed any aroma of disease on her, only the distinct sense of the 2 small lives growing inside of her. The wall of leaves that surrounded the treehouse opened, and a soft white glow pushed through. A beautiful woman in the flowing white robes of a nun and a dozen or so necklaces hanging around her neck that faintly glowed red, blue, gold, and green walked in and stood at the end of the bed.
Azinsa is fine. It's hard work growing dragon babies, and these two are in a hurry to get born.
A 1,000 conflicting thoughts shot through Cage's mind. He and Azzy were both naked. Who was this woman? Was she a threat? Didn't he know her from somewhere? He'd meant to growl the questions, but they stopped in his throat. The fear and anger rolling inside calmed, as if it were nothing more than a warm summer breeze. Azzy touched his cheek, drawing his attention back to her.
Cage, meet Signora Bo. She's a midwife for magical beings.
Huh? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Let's see how you're doing today, Mamacita.
She motioned for Azzy to lie in the bed. Then a gentle wind lifted the sheets and pillows, arranging them so Azzy was covered, and somehow Cage's pants ended up in his hand, so he put them on. You're a wind witch. You should have guessed that a magic midwife would have some powers over the elements herself. She ignored him, which was fine since her focus was entirely on Azzy and his babies. The witch measured Azzy's belly by moving her hands from finger to thumb and counted.
No wonder you're exhausted. These babies are growing like weeds. Adorable little weeds, but it's tiring them out too.
She pressed her ear to a couple of spots and listened through the sheet.
Ah, there you are, little man. Now, move your bum off your mama's bladder. She needs a rest.
A visible bump moved under Azzy's skin, and she sighed in relief. If she hadn't, Cage would have been freaked the hell out by that sight.
Good boy. You two take care of each other in there.
That same soft white light emanated from the witch's hands and seeped under the sheet.
There. I've given them a touch of magic to help them sleep in a little while. It will give you two a chance to do some bonding.
Bonding sounded good. He'd do whatever the midwife witch told them to, if it would help his new family. She stood and summoned a large cupped leaf on a vine over to Azzy and filled it with a stream of water out of thin air.
Make sure you're staying well hydrated, mermaid. The water isn't just for you. Your babies like it too.
As Azzy drank, the witch turned her attention to Cage.
They would also like to go flying.
They would? Talking to unborn babies must be a midwife thing.
Yes, and anything you can do to make them happy, healthy, and strong will help.
She waved him to the bed next to Azzy, and Cage sat as instructed.
I'm not going to sugar this up for the two of you. It's been several hundred years since we've had a dragon son born, and decades since a dragon and a mermaid have mated. Your two little ones have taken up the challenge and are growing at more than twice the rate they should be. That's making for a difficult pregnancy, and it's only going to get tougher.
Azzy took Cage's hand. He swallowed, shoving his own fears down. She was the one bearing the stress for the last month, worrying and growing the babies,
The least he could do was pretend he wasn't scared shitless by the tone of the midwife's speech. What can I do to make it easier for her? Signora Bo tipped her head and smiled at him.
Anything and everything to make your bond stronger. I suggest starting with a lot of sex.
Cage coughed, and Azzy had to pat him on the back.
Sex?
The midwife had a definite twinkle of mirth in her eye.
Yep, preferably in your elements. Good thing you moved your weir to the beach. Plenty of water, sun, and a lovely breeze here, don't you think?
Cage lifted Azzy's hand to his lips. It was no hardship on him to make love to his luscious mate, but he'd thought she wouldn't be in the mood. He'd been prepared to sacrifice and have blue balls for the next several months.
Azzy had said she wanted him earlier, but had also put him off.
He slid one hand into her long curls, loving the touch of her, wanting to touch more, but only if she was up for it. He didn't want to hurt her. Are you okay with this plan? Azzy laughed and snuggled into him.
Dude, why do you think I sent the message that you needed to come home ASAP? I had every intention of jumping your bones, no matter what Signora Bo said after the appointment this morning.
Fuck yeah.
That is my cue to leave. But Azinsa, you need to be connected to more than just your mate. I know you haven't always been able to make friends, but I want you to reach out to other dragon's mates. Your happiness and well-being are the best thing you can do for your children. Okay. Will do.
The scent of untruth floated right out of Azzy's mouth. Cage should have warned her you can't lie to a dragon. Why would she not want to do as the witch instructed? He'd thought she was on friendly terms with... Uh-oh. Cage couldn't think of anyone Azzy was friends with here in Spain. The witch clucked her tongue.
Good try, but I've already sent for reinforcements. They'll be here later today.
What a douche canoe he was. He should have thought to invite her Mami Wata sisters, or at least ask Ciara and Jacob to stay a while after they'd postponed the wedding. No wonder she'd called him back from the hunt for Gestiana. His little mermaid lover wouldn't be lonely anymore. He was here for her now. As he sat up straighter in the bed, any calm she'd been holding on to totally gone.
Wait, what? Who?
The witch smiled and made her way to the break in the leaf she'd come in through. She split them open wider and stepped out, floating in the air.
I'll be back in a few days to check on you. Oh, there's one more thing that can help. It will protect both your life and the baby's, even more than great sex.
Cage shook his head. The witch was really stuck on the whole sex thing. She began drifting away like a weird flying nun.
Find the ring.
Chapter 3. Azzy. The Ring. First, Azzy had been gifted Cage's soul shard necklace. Then the White Witch had given her another one with the miniature replica of her mother's mirror. And now she needed a ring. Eye roll. Dragons and their shiny object hordes. She pulled on Cage's arm and pulled him into the bed with her. What's this ring thing about? Senora Bo couldn't mean a wedding ring. Cage had entire treasure chests full of shiny golden rings. He could pick any one and give it to her. No, the way she'd said the ring had a certain, well, ring to it. Cage frowned and stood. He grabbed her hands and pulled her up too, letting the sheet slide to the floor.
Come on, my love. I'll tell you all about it later. First, I intend on following instructions to strengthen our bond.
He leaned in and nuzzled her neck, then ran his tongue over the mark of the gold dragon she had on her skin there. No matter how many times he did that, it always sent her girly parts into party mode. The midwife had said an increase in libido was a natural part of pregnancy. She didn't think she could want Cage any more than she already did, until he flew into the treehouse early this morning. She was quite literally aching for him right now. I'll let you get away with avoiding that answer for now, mister, but only because you promised me some orgasms.
And orgasms you shall have.
Cage stepped out the same break in the leaves Senora Bo had, and she heard the soft beat of his wings as he shifted into his gorgeous dragon form.
Come, my little mermaid. Let's see who's wetter, you or the ocean.
You are a serious cornball, which she loved about him. He didn't let that side of himself out that often. The destruction of his home in the Netherlands, the move to Spain, the hunt for the succubus queen, and rebuilding the weir all weighed heavy on him. She would do everything she could not to let anything stress him out even more. Even if that meant pretending, she wasn't freaked out about becoming a mother, or that the midwife had invited people to their home. Azzy simply wanted to bask in the warmth and love of her dragon now. She went to the ledge of their secluded treehouse and climbed into his outstretched claw, holding on tight to his leg. He cupped her gently and flew in long, arching circles toward the beach below. She still wasn't entirely over her fear of heights, but as long as she concentrated on being in Cage's care instead of how far down the ground seemed, she enjoyed flying with him. A warmth spread across her belly. Joy, like a soft giggle, spread through her, and she couldn't help but laugh out loud. Senora Beau was right. The babies love this. Go a little higher. Cage gripped her tighter and caught an updraft, soaring toward the sun. With every foot they gained in altitude, the happiness of the babies pulsed through her until she felt she could fly herself.
I feel their little spirits as if they were flying here beside me. It's incredible.
Cage's voice in her head was filled with awe. They flew through the clouds and were joined by several other gold dragons, who appeared to be both enjoying the flight and also surrounding them in a protective pattern. After about a half an hour, the excitement and wiggling of the babies inside of her settled down. She rubbed a hand over the swell.
I think they've fallen asleep.
His tone had gone dark and husky.
Then it's time for Mommy and Daddy to have their fun.
Cage took them down and glided low over the water. Azzy reached her fingers out and skimmed them through the cool ocean waves, then dove in, shifting from legs to her gold and white scaled tail in a breath. She already knew the water calmed the babies, and she spent hours in the ocean every day, especially when her emotions got the best of her, and she missed having Cage by her side and in her bed. Those days, she'd swim to the little secluded cove they'd found one of their first weeks here. She headed there now, because, for the first time in a month, she wouldn't have to be there alone. Her dragon was floating on his back, sunning himself. His wings dangled down into the water. Azzy swirled around, tickling the fine skin with her tail. His rumbling laugh reverberated through the water.
Come up here and let me tickle you. With my tongue.
Azzy popped her head up right next to his ear. Dirty dragon. They both shifted into their human bodies and swam the few yards toward the shore. The second they reached the large, smooth rocks that formed submerged benches, Cage grabbed her up into his arms and licked and kissed his way from her neck to her breasts. Azzy pushed her fingers into his hair and reveled in the feeling of having his mouth on her again.
I've missed you so much.
He growled a response, sending vibrations from her nipple straight to her clit. Then he reached between her legs and stroked her, making her gasp at his perfect, sensual touch. His hands knew all the right places to set her on fire, to make her need him even more than she already did. Her body was so hungry for him, so needy. Cage sucked and pulled on her nipple, then switched to the other one, tugging and licking it. She was so sensitive, she could probably come just from that. But then he slid two fingers inside of her and found her G-spot, driving her soaring toward orgasm.
Ooh, yes, Cage. More. More.
Not like she had to ask. He knew how to make her come, which was exactly what he made her do when he flicked his thumb over her clit. As he arched her back and let the orgasm...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?